Hey there, Rick Singeri of Vermont Edition. Just want you to know this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Technically, the Berkshires are a distinct geological region in western Massachusetts and Connecticut, a slice of the Appalachian Mountain Range. But really, the Berkshires is much more than that. It's a vibrant cultural region, a tourism hub in the summertime, and a place that locals say is really exceedingly special. Most summers on this show, we try to find a slice of our region to visit, kind of like a staycation show. Or we offer specific suggestions on how to do stuff with kids on a budget or the best places to hike. Last summer, we visited the eastern townships of Quebec. So today, we are planting our feet firmly in the Berkshires. Figuratively only, I'm afraid. I wish I was actually there. But we will be offering suggestions on where to eat, what festivals to go to, great places to hike, and everything else to make your visit or staycation a success. Let's start off today's show with Alana Trunilla. She's a food and travel writer and cookbook author who lives in Great Barrington, and she actually walked across the entirety of the Berkshires a few years ago. Alana, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you so much for having me.
So, is it really a special, magical place to be in the summertime?
Oh, it's the best. There's really nowhere like it. I mean, I'm a little biased. I've lived there nearly my whole life. But, you know, I've left and come back a bunch of times. And especially in the summer, it's just there's so much to discover. And it's beautiful. And there's something there for everyone. It's really an amazing region.
So tell us a little bit then, you know, you can sort of give us a little bit of a survey and then we'll go deeper into some specific areas. But, you know, what is it? Give us a little bit of a sense of what are those things.
So the Berkshires, it's a county and it's a long, narrow county, about 50 to 60 miles, depending on where you're at from top to bottom. And there is essentially North County and South County, and they're quite different. So it's good to spend some time in each. And basically, each of those regions have cultural, food, nature, you know, enough to take several days. So most people know about Tanglewood, which is right in pretty much in the center of the county, a little bit lower. And at Tanglewood, you can just buy a lawn ticket for very little money, bring a picnic, wine, and just look at the stars and listen to music. It's like it's the most luxurious experience that I think you can have in the summer.
How are the bugs? Do you have to have bug spray?
You know, it's good to have it just in case, but for the most part, the Tanglewood magic takes over and the bugs usually aren't there.
Amazing. I'm sold. I'm there.
It's really, you know, there's this expanse of grassy lawn and the big trees that give the place its name. And it has all this amazing history. And, you know, it's really, Tanglewood was created, you know, as a haven for people to sort of get away. And it really still is that in so many ways. And that's just one of the many places. But, you know, up north, we've got art museums and food and mountains. And, well, you can see I could talk about this all day.
Well, let me stop you, Alana, because you mentioned that if you were to, say, go to Tanglewood, you might want to carry your own picnic and have a really beautiful spread of perhaps some local cheeses and meats and vegetables. So give us your ideas, since you are also a food writer and a cookbook author,
yes.
For where to get these delectables and what we might want to be sampling from the region.
So it's a very rich agricultural region, and not just with farmers, in really, you know, amazing organic local farmers who are doing all sorts of innovative things on their farms, but there's also a lot of food makers. So we have everything from incredible sourdough bread at Berkshire Mountain Bakery in Housatonic, to Hosta Hill fermented vegetables, which are like, you know, known now around the whole country for how amazing they are. And we have farmers markets in nearly every town, and the markets, I'm partial to the Great Barrington Market because that's my town and I actually worked there for many, many years. But there are great farmers markets, so it's great to check in on the schedule and check out a market. We also have Guido's Fresh Marketplace and also the Berkshire Co-op down south that just is opening its new store today, actually. And then, you know, it's really a great place for ingredients. And I always tell people that, you know, they say, where should we eat? And I, of course, have a list of restaurants. There's great places to eat. But my favorite meals in the Berkshires in the summer are eaten outside, and they usually come out of a basket. So it's good to find a market and put together some Monterey Chev goat cheese, you know, and, or some, you know, some bread and some whatever fruit is in season. Right now, the strawberries are mind-blowing. And those meals are... they just taste the best to me. It's food is always better outside.
So I want your itinerary for a really great date. So not necessarily, you know, restaurant and a movie, but like if you were going to take somebody on a date in the Berkshires and it was maybe an all-day date, give me your itinerary.
Oh, I've got to choose. So I think maybe I might go up to North County. And... I think I would. So North County is essentially, you know, Williamstown, North Adams, and I think I would do some art up there. So I would probably go to Massmoca, and Massmoca is one of the largest contemporary art museums in the country. I think it might be the largest, and I would take in some art up there, and then. We'd come out and then have a beer at Bright Ideas Brewing Company, which is right there, and some barbecue, which you can get right outside Massmoca. And then I would take a walk. There's a few really great great walks right around there in North Adams. And, you know, maybe if I had time, do a little bit of Mount Greylock. But then I think I'd finish the night. There's a hotel called the Tourist Hotel in North Adams. And they have this amazing little bar called the Airport Rooms, which is this, they just redid this whole house, but it feels old. They even repainted the wallpaper. And I get a classic drink and some good food. And sometimes there's music there too.
I'm sold.
So that's one version of my date. And I would do that one anytime.
Alana, you, as I mentioned, you walked across or sort of hiked and meandered through the Berkshires a few years ago. What did you discover that maybe you hadn't known about your region?
Oh, so many things. I did it with my husband, so it was really an eight-day date. And it was something that we had talked about doing for a couple of years. And really the reason we wanted to do it was because, you know, I'd been there all my life and he'd been there 17 years. And we were getting a little, you know how your home can look a little bit, it just, you stop seeing it, and we felt like we needed an opportunity to see it with new eyes, and we thought if we would see it slower, then that would really change the way we experienced it, and that really happened. We started at the Vermont border, and we walked, we stayed at hotels, so we sort of did a tourism walk, and we walked on the roads that we normally drive, and I still... when I drive those roads, like when I'm driving my kids to school or I'm driving to work, I actually can remember what it felt like to walk them. And I think about the little roads. I really learned so much about the little roads that we took, that you can take little roads all over the Berkshires. And this is also true when you're driving, that you have no idea what you'll discover. There's waterfalls and, you know, amazing little enclaves and springs and sometimes general stores with you know, great little treats. And we really discovered a lot of those little roads. We'd be walking and we'd say, let's just take this road. I think it'll link up with the next road that we need, because we had all the time in the world. And so it was a real opportunity to explore and take in the things that we thought we knew. And it taught me a lot about travel. And I think pretty much just wedded me to the Berkshires forever. I never want to leave now.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Alana Chernilla lives in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. She's the author of Eating from the Ground Up and The Homemade Pantry, among other books. And we have a link to her blog at vpr.org. Alana, thank you so much for kicking this off today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was wonderful to talk with you.
State 14 tweeted this recommendation: an art tour, including the Clark, Williams College Museum of Art, and Massmoca, with a pit stop at Jack's Hot Dog Stand in North Adams and a picnic on Stone Hill above the Clark in Williamstown. And Doug says, Ice Glen and Laura's Tower Stockbridge is a lovely walk hike, especially on a hot summer day. He also offers if it's a rainy day, you could go to the Lenox Library and see the Shadowbrook Files. Shadowbrook was built by Anson Phelps Stokes and was the largest home in the U.S. at the time, 400 feet long. It was later sold to Carnegie, where he died. It reminded him of his estate in northern Scotland. It's now the site of Kripalu. Doug has other recommendations as well. We have them at vpr.org, where you can post your own. And let's go to Paul, calling in from Manchester, Vermont. Hi, Paul. What are your suggestions?
I have a lot of suggestions, but I'm going to focus on Alta, which is a restaurant in Lenox, and it's fantastic. French food, French chef, French everything. The Mediterranean salad is insanely good, as is everything we've ever had there. And they happen to be open for lunch and dinner. We go from Manchester, Vermont down there for lunch on a regular basis.
Paul, it sounds wonderful. Thank you for that recommendation. The Alta in Lenox, Massachusetts. Share your own favorite tips and great places to go in the Berkshires. Again, call 800-639-2211. In operation for nearly 100 years now, Jacob's Pillow in Beckett, Massachusetts is a National Historic Landmark, a recipient of the National Medal of Arts, and it's home to America's longest-running dance festival. Joining us now is Jacob's Pillow director, Pamela Taji. Pamela, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So maybe we should just do away with this first, because I'm sure you get it all the time. But how did Jacob's Pillow get its name?
So there's a road that goes from Boston to Albany, and it was called Jacob's Ladder at the time, and this is now the 1790s. And the Carter family came upon this farm in Beckett and saw this beautiful big boulder, and they said, oh, my goodness, that must have been Jacob's pillow. That must have been where he laid his head and dreamed of heaven. It's from the book of Genesis, and that's how we got our name.
And can you describe the transition from a sort of hardscrabble farm to a place that was really a breeding ground for some of the country's best dancers and most interesting modern dance? And it's really a kind of an amazing story.
Sure. So Ted Shawn was a part of the Denishawn Company with Ruth St. Denis, his wife. And they were real pioneers in American modern dance and took dance all across the country, really helping people reimagine that what dance could be by presenting dances of different cultures. And anyway, he made the decision in the late 20s, early 30s, that he wanted to find a way to create a company for men dancers. He believed that men weren't just the partners of women on stage, that they had a level of athleticism and work that they should do on their own. So he bought this farm and brought mostly athletes from Springfield College and trained them to become the company known as Ted Shawn and his men dancers. And they traveled again across the country and the world until World War II, when they disbanded because the men were had to go to war. And he decided to turn the place into a festival. And we were born as the Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival. And he had the ability to identify companies from around the country and the world that should be presented to American audiences. And so we believed that dance was a universal language, that we should have the widest possible scope in terms of what we think of as dance. And it's on that foundation that we exist today.
So what's special this summer? What could people experience?
Well, first of all, if you've never been to Jacob's Pillow, I just want to say we're at the top of a mountain. We have an outdoor stage called the Inside Out Stage, where we have free performances every night, Wednesday through Saturday at 6:15. You can come and bring a picnic, and just to see dance with the backdrop of the Berkshire Hills is completely spectacular. So that's the first thing, to sort of experience the place. We have
archives. I also love that kids could be at a 6 p.m. showing, because, you know, it's hard to take young kids especially to an 8 or 9 p.m., you know, something that's going to go way past their bedtime, but you can have the whole family enjoy dance at 6.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that because the performance is about 40 minutes long, so it's a perfect length for children. There are all sorts of kids like run around, and it's very informal. And children in this region really grow up seeing dance, which happens in many other cultures. It doesn't happen in our culture that often, so it's really one of the best things about Inside Out is that it's always family friendly. So tonight, for example, we have a company that does incredible dance from the Ivory Coast, so African drumming and dance. It's just gorgeous and perfect to introduce children to dance.
That's so neat. And I interrupted you. You were going to tell me something else that's wonderful this summer.
So we have archives that showcase the history of dance here at Jacob's Pillow, which are open to the public every day of the week during the festival. And then we have over 300 performances and talks. We have two primary stages besides Inside Out. We have our main stage, which is the Ted Shawn Theater, and then a black box, which is the Doris Duke Theater. So tonight actually it's opening night of our festival, and we present Ballet BC from Vancouver and the Shawn, and then a circus company from Australia called Circa in the Duke. And next week, I'm super excited about a flamenco company that's from Cuba, led by Irene Rodriguez. She is just the fiercest, most, she just has an astonishing stage presence, and her company of dancers and musicians is absolutely top notch. They came 2 years ago and it sold out before it even opened. So, we are bringing her back to the big stage. We have American masters like Paul Taylor, Martha Graham. We're celebrating the 100th anniversary of Merce Cunningham, Mark Morris. So we have those companies, and we have early career choreographers like Abby Z, who is presenting a work in the Duke that takes a look at women in athletics and the beauty of team sports and the actual how it can be both beautiful and brutal sometimes. And she's a very important new voice in American dance. So we're international, we're global, we are also local. So we are featuring on the Inside Out stage also a number of groups from New England. I'm thinking of Jean Apollon, who's from Boston, Haitian Dance Company, and many others. So there's so many ways to experience the pillow, and it's right here in Western Massachusetts.
Well, it sounds wonderful, and I so appreciate you telling us about it and the history, a little bit of the history of Jacob's Pillow. Pamela Taji is the director of Jacob's Pillow, America's longest running dance festival. It's in Beckett, Massachusetts. Pamela, thank you so much, and have a wonderful summer. Good luck tonight.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we are virtually visiting the Berkshires, getting some great tips on cultural events, places to eat, read a book, go for a swim, see some celebrities, and more. Let's go now to the Williamstown Theater Festival and talk with Mandy Greenfield, the festival's artistic director. Hi, Mandy.
Hey, Jane. Thanks for having me on the show.
We are so pleased to have you, and I'm excited to learn more about the theater festival and something specific that you told our producer, Rick, when you were talking with him about the festival being an incubator for plays that may go on to become hits on or off Broadway. You know, like lots of theater festivals are wonderful, and many have plays that have had long histories that are being, redone and maybe redone in interesting ways. But not all festivals are incubators for plays that may someday in the future be a big hit. So what makes this festival special in that way?
Great place to start our conversation. Well, I think the easiest way to get into an answer to that question is to say that we're an incubator for talent. The Williamstown Theater Festival for 65 seasons has brought together luminary theater artists with up-and-coming amazing talent in the form of students and new professionals and emerging class artists to make a season of new work here in Williamstown for audiences in the Berkshires. And it is that 65-year history of kind of bringing, you know, legends of the American stage together with people just entering this profession and making new work together that has really fostered this sense of it being an incubator. You know, if you were to trap 10 or 20 theater people in a room and ask them where their careers began, over 75% of them would say, I did a summer at Williamstown Theater Festival. And there's something about the energy of this place, and there's something about making art in the kind of protective hug of these hills in this absolutely spectacular environment that really releases everyone, whether they are at the beginning of their careers or whether they're stepping away from major Broadway, off-Broadway, film or television careers to take big, enormous artistic risk and to make something special with their whole souls here at Williamstown Theater Festival.
I'm going to have to fact-check that 75%, you know, statistic that you said, Mandy. 75% have done a summer at Williamstown Theater Festival, although, you know, it sounds
pretty
great.
I dare you to. I don't think I'm that off. I may be a little off, but I don't think I'm that off. But, you know, with regard to the plays themselves, what we're doing here now is a high percentage of world premiere work. So, again, over the 65-year history of the theater festival, we've always had a pillar of strength in our acting community. We've always had a pillar of strength in the directors who make work at this festival. And over the past couple of seasons, we've added a pillar of truly, you know, some of the best writers in our country are making world premiere work with and for the Williamstown Theater Festival, again, because of the energy and enthusiasm of the talent that we can bring together, whose forces are leveraged in service of birthing a new play. And yes, you know, a lot of that work is moving on to Broadway and off-Broadway. In the coming season, we will have 7 shows on, either in off-Broadway or Broadway, that found themselves originating here. And while, you know, I wouldn't say that that is necessarily the hallmark of success, I will say that, you know, artists want their work seen by as broad and diverse an audience as possible, right? I mean, theater artists are making work that wants to connect and transform people. So, you know, the idea that they get to bring this work to life here on our stage and then, you know, push out onto a wider platform thereafter is really a tribute, I think, to the sense of adventure and appetite for art that is present here in the Berkshires.
Okay, but I want to hear about your late night cabarets.
Oh, yes, you do. Our late night cabarets happen 3 times a summer, over 3 weekends, 3 times a summer. You know, what happens in Williamstown stays in Williamstown at the late night cabaret. So if you really want to know about it, you have to come experience it. You know, there's something about being up here that just makes people want to sing, and we give them the stage to do that. Big surprises, you know, the people, we've been blessed that, you know, Audra McDonald and Renee Fleming and, you know, some of the great legends of, you know, the American stage have been on our stage and turned up at the cabaret as a surprise. A couple of seasons ago, Priscilla Lopez, who happens actually to be back here this season in our production of Grand Horizons, and who was the original Morales in A Chorus Line, got up on stage and sang her famous number, Nothing, spontaneously and brought the house down. And, you know, at the other end of the spectrum, we've had apprentices and interns and young people who are here spending a summer get up on stage and sing their faces off and walk off stage and, you know, are asked by agents to let them represent them. So it's really just a great time. It's an hour that you'll never forget, that you'll always want to return to. And there's wine and beer to boot. So we hope people will join us.
All right. It sounds great. I'm energized already. Mandy Greenfield is Artistic Director of the Williamstown Theater Festival. Mandy, thanks so much for talking with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And we'll put a link so you can see what else is going on at the festival up at vpr.org. Tina's calling in from Lake Placid, New York. Hi, Tina. What's your favorite place?
Well, one of the things is I'm so excited about this show because I grew up in the Berkshires, and I really didn't appreciate all there was until I moved away. But earlier you were asking about what you thought might be a great date, mm-hmm. and to me, the ultimate would be on a Saturday, go down to Lenox to the Mount and start off in the middle of the afternoon and walk through their gardens that have, I believe, an excellent collection. It changes each year of art that's just along the trails. But then on Saturday night, you go to the Jazz out on the porch. It is incredible. You can have lunch there, dinner from their little food car, or you can bring your own. It is just the best.
Oh, Tina, that sounds stellar. Thank you for recommending the Mount in Lenox, Massachusetts, Edith Wharton's home. Let's go now to Donna Hassler. So you've heard of Hollywood, but have you ever heard of Chesterwood? Donna Hassler is the executive director of Chesterwood in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Hi, Donna.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Chesterwood, you've got to tell us about it.
Chesterwood is the former home, studio, and gardens of one of America's foremost public sculptors, Daniel Chester French. And if you don't know his name, you may know one of his monuments, the Minuteman in Concord, Massachusetts, as well as his most famous work, the seated figure of Abraham Lincoln for the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. However, he created over 100 public sculptures during his lifetime. And at Chesterwood, visitors can see many of his preliminary models and maquettes in his studio, as well as permanent exhibitions on his life and work.
So when you call it Chesterwood, though, it's going to have that connotation, isn't it? A sort of kitschy Hollywood-esque thing, but it doesn't sound like that's what it feels like on the grounds at all.
No, I think Chesterwood evokes the natural beauty of the Berkshires, and the name refers to the home of Daniel Chester French's grandparents, which was Chester, New Hampshire. So that's where the name Chester comes from.
So many of us do know Daniel Chester French's remarkable works, including the two that you mentioned, which so many people can just have a vision conjured up in their brain immediately. What else should we know about the life of Daniel Chester French?
Daniel Chester French was incredibly prolific during his lifetime as an artist, both a sculptor and a painter, but he was also a garden designer. And when one visits Chesterwood, I like to say that he sculpted the landscape here. There are beautiful formal gardens with perennial long border, beautiful allee that ends in a garden arch into the woodland walks. And right now you can see the peonies in bloom. And late August, you'll see some beautiful hydrangea trees along the allee. And the woodland walks is a natural trail that French laid during his lifetime here. And it really is to encourage people to spend time in nature and enjoy the beauty of the landscape.
It sounds like a wonderful place to be able to not only see some art and learn more about Daniel Chester French, but also, as you said, to embrace the natural surroundings of the location. Donna Hassler is executive director of Chesterwood in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Donna, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's go to Jim, who's calling in from Colchester. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, how you doing? Actually, glad to have the show on. I wish we had had it a couple of weeks before. My wife and I went to the Berkshires for our anniversary for 4 days.
Congratulations.
And we were in Stockbridge. And one of the places we visited was, it's called the Chance Gallery. It's right in Stockbridge. And it's devoted to art glass. And they had some of the most fantastic glass you would ever see there, including Dale Chihuly was on exhibit.
Wow, cool.
You can go to their website and actually they show you all of this incredible art that's there. Another place we went to that people might not think of going to is they have a botanical garden right outside of Stockbridge. And it's one of the better regional botanical gardens. And another thing to do is just to sit on the porch of the Red Lion Inn in Stockbridge and just sort of watch the world go by.
Jim, it sounds wonderful. And next year, send us a note before you go away on your anniversary trip so we can time our staycation show appropriately. Thanks for sharing those recommendations with us. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Today, we're spending time in the lovely museums, fields, restaurants, and festivals that make the Berkshires such a magical place to be in the summertime. It's our loosely defined, mostly annual summer staycation show. So tell us your off-the-beaten-path recommendations if you're a local, or share the favorite things you've done as a visitor. Call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.org. We left off at Chesterwood, the summer home of sculptor Daniel Chester French. Let's stick with the artistic theme now and talk with Vicki Saltzman, Director of Communications at the Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Vicki, thank you for being on Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having me. It's a perfect Berkshires day today, so everybody should be dreaming of coming here.
No thunderstorms in the Berkshires at this point.
Correct.
So tell me a little bit about the Clark Art Institute, because you're nestled among many, many artistic, wonderful places, museums and galleries. So what makes the Clark special?
We think there's a lot of reasons for the Clark to be special. But above all, it's just the opportunity to see remarkably beautiful art in a setting of equally comparable natural beauty. And
we keep hearing that, Vicki. You keep hearing the natural beauty melds well with the actual physical artwork.
It does. Actually, our founder, Sterling Clark, believed that the art outside the walls of the museum should be every bit as beautiful as what's inside. And that's guided us for more than 60 years. We recently did a major renovation with a huge increase in our landscaping, and we feel that we've sort of hit the mark now between art and architecture and just the beauty of our lands. We have 140 acres here, so
wow.
It's a little slice of heaven.
I want to hear about a couple of the exhibits that you have this summer, two big ones in particular that seem really special. And I am fascinated by the exhibit that you have of Ida O'Keeffe, Escaping Georgia's Shadow. Can you tell me about it?
Sure. Ida O'Keeffe is an artist that most people have probably never heard of, although her last name may sound familiar. She is, in fact, the sister of Georgia O'Keeffe, who was a far more renowned artist. We are doing a show this year. It's the first museum exhibition ever done devoted to Ida O'Keeffe's work. It was created at the Dallas Museum of Art, and they are bringing the show here, on which will open on July 4. So Ida O'Keeffe was working in the 1920s, the 30s, and even the 40s, and lived an interesting life that somewhat made it difficult for her to practice her art and pursue her passion for art. She was both a teacher and a nurse. She lived a somewhat itinerant life, moving from place to place very frequently. And this story tells, this show tells the story of her life, shows you her art, which is phenomenal, and also explores the really interesting and sort of not surprising, maybe, family drama that surrounded her career versus that of her sister. Georgia O'Keeffe, you know, was also married to Alfred Stieglitz, a photographer who was a great marketeer, if you will. So he helped to promote Georgia's career. There's an interesting family dynamic between the two sisters, an interesting dynamic between Ida O'Keeffe and her sister's husband. So there's a lot of threads to this story. But essentially, Ida's career somewhat was stunted by the fact that she was Georgia's sister, and Georgia felt strongly that there could only be one successful artist in the family.
Hmm. Is their artwork similar? Will people notice a connection?
I think you will. I'm not an art historian, so I'm not going to be the one who gives you the definitive answer, but I will say that she was very much a modernist, and I think you will see echoes of Georgia in Ida, but they're two different artists. We have some phenomenal works that she did, a whole series of paintings of lighthouses that are just terrific. So those alone are worth the trip to the Berkshires.
I want to at least mention the Renoir exhibit you have, The Body, The Senses, focusing on his paintings in the nude, but just to make sure we have enough time for it, I want to hear about the sound installation you have, because you've said that it leaves people in tears.
It does. So it's hard to imagine that Renoir could ever take third to a series of exhibitions. So that tells you that they're kind of great. It's called Janet Cardiff, the 40-part motet. And Janet Cardiff is a Canadian artist. This is a piece that she created several years back, and it's been shown at other museums. It's on loan to us from the National Gallery of Canada. It consists of 40 speakers that are on tall stands. She recorded the Salisbury Cathedral Choir in England singing this 16th century piece of work called Spem and Allium by the composer Thomas Tallis. Each speaker plays either one singular voice, or in certain speakers she has melded the voice of two or three children to become one single voice. So you have 40 speakers, each playing individual parts of this music. If you stand near one speaker, you'll hear the one singer's voice very clearly. Surrounding you will be the other 39 voices. If you go in the center of the room, all 40 voices give you this wall of sound that's very powerful. And we had heard that people were often moved to tears, and I can say we have witnessed it in our gallery several times in the last few weeks. It's an experience more than anything. And to look out over the landscape while you listen to this ethereally beautiful art is really memorable.
It sounds fascinating. And I will mention that the Clark has one of the largest Renoir collections in the country, so not to be missed either. Certainly, Renoir does not play third fiddle to anyone. But
no, and not this year for sure. The special exhibition we have on has 70 works in it, and they are major, major canvases and drawings by Renoir, as well as works by artists like Picasso, Courbet, Matisse. These are all artists who either influenced Renoir or that he influenced and sort of set them on their career path. And it takes a look at Renoir at the time that we're marking the 100th anniversary of his death through the single lens of his paintings of the nude, which he began as a young student studying works in the Louvre, and up until his dying day, he returned to the subject of the nude as a means of continually improving his practice as an artist. And we have in the final room his last painting called The Bathers, which is a massive canvas that his family presented to the state of France after his death, because it is sort of a monumental achievement that really speaks to the grandeur of his work. And these paintings will knock your socks off. They're enormous, some of them. They're amazingly beautiful, and they encourage you to think of Renoir in a different way than maybe you know him so far.
And you'll find them at the Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Vicki, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks so much.
Vicki Saltzman is Director of Communications at the Clark. And you know, all of this cultural edification has been great, but I am craving a little break from the madness. So let's make a final stop this hour with Harold Moon. Harold is part of the Berkshire Knapsackers, a local hiking group, and he's going to give us some great suggestions for getting out into the woods. Hello, Harold.
Good afternoon. How are you, Jane?
I'm well, thanks. And I'm so excited to talk with you about great places to go out. We keep hearing about nature, but let's actually go deep into it. And I think we should probably start with Mount Greylock, because many people will know of Mount Greylock. So tell us a little bit about what makes Mount Greylock special and a reason that somebody should try to go for a hike.
Well, it offers quite a variety of hiking trails for anywhere from the beginner on up to the more experienced hiker. When you do get to the summit, you have great views of the surrounding areas, both in Berkshire County and even up to Vermont and over to New York.
And there's also a war memorial at the summit?
Yes, there is. There's a war memorial monument dedicated to our military veterans. And it's got stairway in it. You can get up to the top and get even better views.
If you want to see a picture of what that's like, you can go to vpr.org and click on Vermont Edition. It's actually our image on the show page today. Harold, do you know, is there anything special sort of geologically about the Berkshires or distinct about the Berkshires, or will people be familiar with the geology and the terrain and the flora and fauna from hiking in other parts of New England?
I don't know of anything special about the Berkshire Mountains themselves. But I think there is a lot of other similar flora and fauna elsewhere in New England as well as here, such as not just lilacs, but down in South County, I know it goes into Connecticut, too. Matter of fact, this time of the year, they're in bloom, mid-June.
Oh, I wish I could think of what you're thinking of, Harold. I hate that feeling when you have it right at the tip of your head and you cannot figure it. Rick Singeri is suggesting maybe mountain laurel.
That's the thing.
Oh, hooray. Phew.
Laurel. Oh,
so mountain laurel is wonderful right now.
Yes, it is, and it's very fragrant.
Mm. Harold, what made you want to be part of the Berkshire Knapsackers? I love the name, and I mean, that would be enough for me to join, but why did you want to join?
Well, I like the outdoors. I like hiking. As it turned out, I knew some of the people that were already in the club, and so that basically got me first interested. And so I wanted to go out with friends, and then I found out about all the great hiking trails around here that I didn't know when I first moved here.
Give us a couple others that might be great for people who are either living in the region but haven't explored these areas or who are visiting. Another couple of great walks or hikes in the Berkshires.
Sure. If you like waterfalls, there is a couple of waterfalls on Mount Greylock. Up in Savoy in North County, there's Tannery Falls. And then down in South County, there's Racebrook Falls, and Bashbish Falls is a big one. That's a very popular place.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say one unusual thing you can do is you can actually take a hike in Central County here in Lenox, and you can actually hike to Tanglewood and take in a show in the evening after hiking.
Then do you have to get somebody to come and pick you up so you don't have to hike back in the dark?
Well, you would want to spot cars so that you don't have to worry about that. Sometimes when you take a hike, you can only go one way, and you actually have to have cars spotted at the end as opposed to doing like a loop trail.
Yeah, wise to think about before you start hiking, I suppose.
Absolutely.
when you yourself are... you know, you've had your fill of quiet time in nature, and it sounds like sometimes you can actually go out with the club and hike with other people. But when you want to just go and be with people in the center of it all, what else do you like to do in the Berkshires?
Oh, what else do I like to do? besides hiking.
Yes.
Oh, I was prepared for hiking.
I'm sorry, Harold. I've asked you something other than hiking, and I know that that's like throws you off your game.
Well, some of the other things are the great restaurants we have throughout Berkshire County. Sometimes it's fun to just go to a tavern and meet folks there and have a couple of drinks and then head home. Goodness, I mentioned Tanglewood, and then I know there's also up in. North Adams, there's the Williamstown is the Clark Art Institute, and then there's Mass Mocha.
See, Harold, I knew that there was something other than hiking, and it sounds like you've come through taverns and Tanglewood and art galleries, and you're really wrapping up for us how wonderful the region can be because there is so much to do. Harold Moon is a committee member of the Berkshire Knapsackers, a hiking group based in the Berkshires that does hikes all over New England. Harold, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Woody posts, no better place to be than Tanglewood on the 4th of July. Picnic on the lawn or a ticketed seat in the shed for James Taylor, followed with top shelf fireworks. Also performing at Tanglewood on the 4th are Vermont's own Hokum Brothers Band and comic vaudevillians Wells and Woodhead. Thanks to everyone for suggestions and tips on what to do in the Berkshires.